Inside Fashion Marketing, a podcast by Zalando Partner Marketing Services. Shaping love brands and supporting your long-term growth through customer-centric marketing.
Hello, hello, and welcome, dear listeners. I'm thrilled to have you here. I'm Heike Lari, Director Partner Marketing and Consultancy at Zalando Marketing Services, where we connect fashion, beauty, lifestyle brands with millions of consumers across Europe. Today's a special one. We're sharing the highlight from our OMR 2025, which was not Ryan Reynolds being there, but our second masterclass where we explored how brands can go far beyond reach and clicks to build real connections, spark trust, and shape the love brands of tomorrow. Because let's face it, retail media is no longer just an option, it's the engine of brand growth. So this time, the spotlight is on our brand partners, the ones creating the magic with us every day. I had the pleasure of hosting our first ever brand panel with Alma Lipa, CDMO at L'Oréal, Dunja Ehlert, Senior Director Sales E-Commerce for PVH, and Ivona Skolička, Head of Marketing Strategic Accounts EMEA at Salomon. In this episode, you'll hear the full panel conversation from OMR 2025. And if you want to catch the full masterclass, including the insights and inspiration, check out the video on demand via the link in the show notes. I would love to welcome our first guest to the stage, which is Alma Lipa, the CDMO of L'Oréal. Warm welcome. Hello. Yeah. So Alma, before we talk a lot about your campaigns, let's watch a video of one of the recent ones. And next, I would love to invite you, Dunja Ehlert, to the stage. You are the Senior Sales Director for E-Commerce PVH. Welcome. So now, before I show the video, I hope everyone is above 18. When this launched, we were joking inside saying Bad Bunny broke the internet. So I can guarantee you, you certainly did. And then last, I would love to invite you, Ivona Skolička, from Salomon. You're the head of marketing there. Welcome. So I think you can imagine what this next campaign will be about. It launched just now, so it's hot out of press. Can you guess it's about running? Thank you so much for joining us. So we heard already how retail media is evolving. And the reason we invited you is that you are really driving the transformation here. You all have the pleasure to work with love brands and you do extremely well in your campaigns. And as a bit of a warm up, I would love to ask all of you, thinking about brand love, what is a brand that comes to your mind? Not necessarily one that you work on, but tell me, who is a love brand for you?
So first of all, very good choice of shoes, Heike, because the example I wanted to give you is really about Adidas. So that's the brand that pops into my mind who are doing a fantastic brand management job, I feel. And I like brands who are having long heritage, right? So we know them for decades and they manage to renew themselves and really are very bold also. So that's what I think is a success story. Like Adidas was, I think, one of the first brands who really discovered this brand collapse with Gucci, for instance. I think it's pretty bold and pretty interesting. So I'm going to take Adidas.
Good call. How about you, Ivana?
I'm going to pick up Arc'teryx. Some of you might not know this brand. It used to be a high-performance brand, but just reserved for the purist consumers like climbers, like outdoor lovers. But they managed to very nicely sneak into this fashion culture through the collaborations, but also through the Gorpcore trend that they picked up very well with Gen Z. So that's why I admire them. They have this rare positioning of the let's say being in both areas and being authentic in both areas in the performance and then in the fashion. And personally, I'm wearing Arc'teryx, and I even brought my jacket here. So it's more it's I use it in the outdoors, but I also use it for the urban arena.
Okay, a real fan. And how about you, Dunja?
As I work in premium fashion, I think I'm allowed to say it's actually Miu Miu because they're doing an amazing job right now. Okay, I see some fans here. An amazing job when it comes to actually combining high-end fashion with athleisure, right? That's the current trend right now, and that's it's definitely Miu Miu for me.
Yeah, good one. And so you have been all out and about OMR now the past 1.5 days. And what do you think when it comes to retail media? What's next on trend? What's driving innovation? And what's fostering customer loyalty? What are your thoughts there? Maybe I start with you, Dunja.
Shall I start because I have the mic? To be honest, it sounds easy, right? But for me, it's truly, I want to go to an online retailer where I find what I'm looking for. Sounds easy, but actually not a lot get it right. So to me, that's key. That makes me come back to an online shop. If I see what I like, that makes me a loyal customer.
Actually, I will pick up very pragmatic, practical example, AI-powered Zalando Fashion Assistant. It's at Zalando, but also in other retailers. It really saves me time as a woman. And probably girls share it with me. It saves me time. I just pick up what I need. It prompts me the answers based on the weather, based on the occasion. So that's one. And I can't wait for the fitting room, 3D fitting room, that I feel it's cooking.
My colleagues will be so happy you said that. Thank you.
And maybe just a last example from my side is probably data, as basic as it sounds, but I feel it really, now we are pacing up on this topic, and I mean you showed it also in your presentation, but in general in all the exchanges, it's about creating the perfect audiences, being able to made to measure target. For me, that's really the next era in a way.
And as you say, it sounds so easy and straightforward, but actually it's not. And for most, it's not that they have too few data points, but too many, right? And how you slice and dice them, right? Yeah, pretty well. So maybe let's dive a bit deeper, Alma, with you, into your approach of brand building in this very dynamically evolving landscape. And you manage really a vast and diverse portfolio at L'Oréal. And there have been special moments with L'Oréal Paris and Kérastase, and you really managed to create memorable brand moments here. So maybe you can explain to us a bit how you actually build this distinct brand love within the portfolio.
Yeah, so you just mentioned the brand portfolio, right? So just to give you a bit of context, we are managing more than 30 brands, more than 30 beauty brands in our DACH ecosystem. And of course, we have to be aware of the different brand DNAs in a way. And let's take your example of L'Oréal Paris. It's a Parisian heritage, a bit chic, like showing this showcasing of all these ambiences around. And on the other side, you have some brands which are loud, like NYX Cosmetics, which is young, edgy, loud, and really having some urban vibes, right? And I think what we are, why I like the work with Zalando so much, that we can match our audiences perfectly. So of course we would connect and Laura Perry's audience differently than we would with NYX. And maybe to give the audience a concrete example, with NYX we did a collaboration with Adidas, the brand I love very much. And we tried to play together contents, both on-site but also off-site, you know, to have like deploying the full ecosystem. And I think that's where you can play with different either strategic partnerships or different universes or different content pieces. And I think that's what we have to be aware of as marketeers, like how can we find the nice matches and deploy the right content behind, right? So this is probably the biggest piece of work.
Yeah, that's super valid, right? Finding this right match. So that's an amazing segue over to you, Dunja. So in PVH, you manage brands like Calvin Klein and Tommy Hilfiger. And especially when we look at Tommy Hilfiger, the customer base really varies, right? In age, in segments they buy, different categories. So we did a big Zalando branding day together, especially targeting Gen Z. And maybe you can share a bit, how did you leverage retail media here with us to build this emotional connection and the cultural relevance for this specific group of customers?
Yeah, very good question, Heiken. Happy to answer. Obviously, we made use of a cultural moment, the Olympics actually happening last year in summer in Paris. And we picked the perfect talent. Actually, Lucien, I'm sure you all know him from Emily in Paris. I see a lot of women here, so I'm sure we have a lot of fans here. So it was actually a combination about the right cultural moment, the Olympics, combined with the right talent who actually resonated to the young target group. And on top, we actually co-created together with Zalando a collection specifically around the Olympics, who told actually the story behind the family who's actually supporting the athlete. So this was a true cultural moment. We had, obviously, we used the full homepage. We had a full 2 days homepage takeover. It was an on-site and off-site campaign. And it was actually alive in several countries. But the key markets were Germany, France, and Italy. You see a little bit on that. Unfortunately, we cannot see this.
Exactly.
Yeah, unfortunately. But there were some more influencers from Italy. And Lucien was great. He resonated with 2.6 million end consumer fans to actually the younger target group. And we saw a huge halo impact because the sales were actually doubling. As I work in sales, I'm always very interested in the marketing KPIs, but as well in the sales KPIs. So we saw a huge halo impact, and we actually drove more than 30% of new customers by this campaign.
That's amazing. We hope he comes back. So, Ivona, over to you. Obviously, in sports, there is a big functional element as well to your offer. And you just launched a campaign, Let Go Anywhere. And I wonder, how did you use storytelling in retail media to educate customers and let them know that you have something called adaptive grip in your shoes?
Happy to answer. It's really fresh from the oven campaign. It launched on Zalando as we speak.
Exactly, just now.
And it's a great example because this campaign is not about promoting the product, but about shaping the new culture of running, a gravel culture that Salomon wants to, let's say, convey in the messaging. It's less about the performance and it's more about freedom, exploration, and connecting with the communities. So basically, we are currently refocusing from the functional benefits into the emotional benefits to show these emotions when running, to show the journey and not the finish line and not the racing, and show all these elements like exploration, feeling when you run from the asphalt to the gravel and everything in between. We coped with Zalando and we co-produced very recently the video, also the creative assets and all the elements. And in the video, we are showing the scenario when the free runners are running from the city through the parks and then into the gravel area. So that helps us to convey the message easily. And this is this visual storytelling. So we showcase this versatility. And don't get me wrong, the shoe is packed with technology. So adaptive grip is there and all the other elements. But where we focus is, we focus on the outcome for the user, on the comfort. We focus on this versatility and on the feeling. And when we co-produce with Zalando this material, we need to also make sure that everyone understands, you know, not only the specifications of the product and the innovation, but also, you know, what is the feeling coming with this technology for the end user. So that's how we create now the storytelling from this innovation.
I think that's such a great example because I think especially sports is something that you would shop in brick and mortar traditionally for a long time. And I think it's super cool that now you're using really innovative and cool formats to bridge that, right? And to without educating top down and boring stories or long descriptions that nobody will read, the customer very practically on how to actually use the shoe. Super cool. Yeah. So moving from tech more to entertainment, I think nobody could miss that there was a fabulous L'Oréal Paris Make the Runway Yours live show happening during Fashion Week. And I saw them all, Heidi Klum, Lena Gag. You know, I think everyone had a favorite in there. And this is something we could call shoppertainment, right? And here storytelling is key. And this is, of course, a content-rich format. And maybe you could share with the audience a bit what was the shopping journey here and how did you use it to inspire and acquire new beauty customers on Zalando?
So before I explain you the details, I think the main KPI for us was really requiring new to brands. So this is one of our key objectives, to increase penetration, to reach new customers. So the result was there. So this is maybe just to be pre-teasing a bit. And regarding the campaign, so what Heike just explained, once per year we have a big fashion show happening in Paris, Le Défilé. So it's a very exclusive event and we try to kind of broadcast it and to make it accessible for everybody. But in live. And you know what is happening when it's a live format? People have this feeling of I want to participate, a little bit of behind the scenes, and it does something. It's a very emotional connection. So what we did together with Zalando, we tried to deploy the live format and let it cooperate with two creators. So you were watching the live format, you were having great comments and great look interpretations from two local faces, and then they would kind of accompany you through the live format, right? And then afterwards they would help you to find the right products to look like Heidi Klum or Eva Longoria or similar like them, right, with the right makeup. And that's what I like, kind of. It was starting with a long video format with the live happening. It was bridged with creators, which made the content more accessible for everybody. And the end of the thing, thinking about the funnel, was to really show you which product, which lipstick was the one you saw on the live show and which product or lipstick you could finally buy on the Zalando shopping platform, right? And what we saw is really, first of all, new to brand, which was the key KPI, but also the interactions during the live format, meaning people chatting, people exchanging, being entertained and really engaged with our brands. So for us, it was really a clean sweep and we were super satisfied with the result.
Oh, that's cool. I certainly would have bought the lipstick that makes me look like Lena Gerke, yeah? So please share that with me. And also, now, I would love to talk about a highlight, Dunja, we had together during the denim event. We saw it in the video in the very beginning. So you participated with Tommy Jeans in our very first multi-branded denim event. And here we saw that with the campaign we ran afterwards, we actually had a huge increase, 50% of new customers. So here we really saw we're speaking to a new audience. And also the ROAS was 15 times higher than what we saw before. And I think what's interesting that physical events is nothing that would come to mind immediately, right, for retail media. And I completely understand if some of you sit here thinking like, okay, but are you an event agency now? What does this have to do with online shopping? So maybe can you share a bit how we generated buzz then on site for Tommy Jeans, and if you saw a bit of a lasting effect, and also what were the learnings from this activation?
Yeah, good question. Now, you're absolutely right, right? Normally, we would not think of doing a physical event, but actually, we were completely wrong because the KPIs were so good. I mean, across the full funnel, we actually beat the benchmark by triple digit. So this was amazing. I think it was about the combination, right? I mean, everybody wants to be invited to an exclusive event. So you said it at the beginning. After 2 minutes, the event was fully booked out. So there were several hundreds of people who actually wanted to join this amazing denim event you actually set up. And we had...
I felt very old going there. It was a super cool crowd, I have to say.
Yeah, exactly, right? And they were so stylish and dressed up. No, it was super nice. And we had several hundreds of guests, and then obviously we had 40 influencers, 4 to 5 dedicated to Tommy Jeans. And they obviously, we had several working stations there and a laser machine. So our Amsterdam Tommy Denim team, they helped us to set this up and to engage with the influencers and with the guests. And this content, which was created on spot, got immediately shared and uploaded on Instagram, on TikTok. And we obviously had a huge retail media campaign ahead of the event, kind of highlighting that this is coming up. And then we extended the content, which was generated on the spot, to Zalando, which was amazing, right? So actually, without being there, you could participate. So this was the key to success, I have to say. And it's just this combination about offline and online marketing, which I think made it so special. And operationally, there were some learnings, right? Obviously, it was the first physical event. So what were the learnings? The learning were definitely, oh my God, you need so much more people than you think of regarding the entire coordination. And I think we have an amazing relationship and a close alignment. But to be honest, I think it could have been even more close in terms of setting up this physical event. But hey, I'm up for test and learn. And to be honest, I think we can even do it better next time.
And we give it another shot in September. So all of you maybe having plans to visit Berlin that time, please come and take a look at yourself. Yeah, super. So Alma, we see behind us here a very nice campaign that we did together matching Kerastase and Karl Lagerfeld. And so this is, I have to say, an absolute sweet spot, and I think what we love to do most, so to be matchmakers across love brands. And here, of course, we combine luxury fashion with luxury hair care. And maybe you can speak a bit about how that worked for you and what was the strategic approach doing that?
So let me start with, first of all, a shout out to the Zalando team over there who was really accompanying us throughout the process. Because this is where the magic happened. Like we explained you our ecosystem around Kerastase, which is a premium hair care brand, super luxury products, nicely packed, nice formulas, very, very precious. And we were looking for a way to reach, to increase the awareness around this beautiful range, right? And with you guys, we tried to find our perfect partner in crime, and we spotted on the other side of the ocean, Karl Lagerfeld Fashion. And I think that's also the magic where we said, how can we use the audiences which are available on your platform around Karl Lagerfeld Fashion? How can we marry them perfectly with our Kerastase universe? And then, of course, there was a beautiful campaign shot and throughout the funnel, very nice assets that we co-created together. And at the end of the day, it really worked out super well. So first of all, we had fantastic sellouts. So this is the first KPI for us. So it really sold more products. But for us, even the more relevant KPI was to really increase the awareness around Kerastase, because it's such a precious brand, but it's unfortunately not yet very well known. And I think our target was somewhere in around lower million digits. And at the end of the day, we reached really impressive reaches beyond 20 million, which is fantastic, which is really a truly great result. And the Kerastase, the brand team, is super happy with the result, because we really feel it's also from the brand lift perception on both sides, factually really working very well. So we could also even enhance our image throughout such collaborations. What a nice marriage of those two.
Oh, I love it. So can I marry one of the two with any other brand? Any spontaneous thoughts here?
We should think about cross-category selling, right? We should actually work in a collaboration. I think that would be amazing.
Okay, so maybe if you ever see, you know, then something coming up from these three brand partnerships here, then you know where it started. You were there live. Maybe coming more about the audience understanding, you mentioned it, right? So in the end, it's exactly this. So if you know that there's a shared audience, and this is where you know you can make this match happen. And Dunja, we did lately something together. We saw it also in the beginning with Calvin Klein and Heisnobiety, a concept for your new shapewear launch. And of course, a product launch is in marketing the Super Bowl, the biggest gig. And here it was, yeah, an especially big one. And so what we showed here, and the clip you saw in the beginning, is called Inspire Effortless Confidence Through Play. I think really this is exactly the feeling that comes across from this campaign. And also here, Retail Media was part of the launch. And maybe you can talk a little bit also what was the role here of Heisnobiety, of Zalando, of Retail Media. So why actually launching this with us?
I mean, there's no doubt we would not launch it with you guys, right? You're to be honest, I mean, you're
okay, that was a trick question.
Yeah,
okay.
Tricky one, right? Now you have more than 52 million end consumers. There's no better partner to launch it with, to be very honest. But in this sense, obviously, as we wanted to enter a new category, right? Shapewear is new for Calvin Klein. We're known, we're the market leader when it comes to underwear, but we're not yet that known for shapewear. But this is going to change. So forget about Skims, forget about Spanx, please. It's all about CK shapewear. Because if you want to feel truly confident, right, and you want shapewear to be seen, it's not to be hidden, right? We should all be proudly wearing shapewear. Then there's only one brand to go after, and that's Calvin Klein. So what we did, we actually, for the very first time, we collaborated with Heisnobiety because they are the cultural creators, right? I mean, there's no other partner better than Heisnobiety in reaching a new target audience and doing it in a different way. And obviously, Zalando is the perfect partner when it comes to conversion and reach. So, I mean, Alma said it, let's marry them with our brand. And this is how it all started. And basically, yeah, we looked specifically for brand stills and video content, which kind of brought across this feeling of confident women, right? Confidently wearing actually shapewear. We work together with talents like Coco Rebecca. She's known from the Netflix series Summertime. And then we have Victoria Stella, an Italian model. And the assets, I mean, if you haven't seen it, you need to look it up. They're really amazing. So I think
they're
this
all
was,
live.
Yes, they're already live, exactly. We have several phases when it comes to this campaign. And yeah, the third phase is still about to happen. So stay tuned for more details. But yeah, it was the perfect combination. And we are so ready to do it again.
Oh, that's lovely. And I have to say, this is, I mean, opening the Zalando homepage and then it's Bad Bunny all over. I mean, this is something. Exactly. This is where you think, okay, I really have the coolest job, and how nice is this? We're really looking forward to see how this is continuing. And I think what's super nice is that it's not only this one moment in time, but actually that all these assets are living then within the PDPs and in the distinct underwear home. So I think it's super important to say, like, yes, of course, there's a big launch moment, but that's not it, right? So then for us, really also the work starts on seeing how did it do, what do we learn from it, and how do we continue a lasting effect here, yeah. You also had a product launch. We touched on it a little bit. So speaking about the Let Go Anywhere campaign, where it's all about the runner's mindset, right? And so here we speak about different identities. So you call them urban explorer, free spirit, gravel seeker. So what is your idea with the segmentation and the creative variations in the messaging for each of these groups with us in Retail Media?
It's a great question because the campaign is about versatility. So we want to show, you know, how versatile consumers might be and how running can be versatile. So we actually, together with Zalando, we've identified these three segments. And then we are speaking to three different type of runners, depending if the runner wants to enjoy the running, or if he's more into the gravel hard terrain, or if he just wants to explore the city. So we also identified three type of ambassadors that are endorsing and authenticating this kind of free segment consumers. And then we are tailoring made assets, key visuals, copy, towards this segment. And we use the Zalando best-in-class targeting. I don't even know all the secrets of it. to actually guide this consumer through the journey and target them with the right media. So, for instance, the freestyle seeker would be more prone to use the social media-friendly assets, while the gravel personality would prefer the outdoor narrative more. So we are targeting them with the right contextual messaging there. And then at the end, we will be able to measure the segments, engagement. And I will be very curious which of the segments is actually the most engaged and the biggest one out of the all communities. And I'm sure we are going to use this data for the next stage of the campaign for the second part of the year.
I think it's so interesting what you mentioned, Ivona, because when we always say one campaign, but what we actually mean is one campaign can have, as you say, several types. Not all of them happen in the same place. So this can be on-site, this can be off-site, this can be a physical event, right? There are so many moments. And then, as you say, for us, it's so interesting to then check afterwards what has worked best actually. And here we're moving more and more in the, let's say, Netflix logic, where not everybody sees the same movie cover, but where we really alter to the preferences of the audience. I think that's really cool. Yeah, maybe talking about segments, Alma, is this similar for you? So also with the very the versatility of your brands, how do you play the different retail media channels then on the campaigns and for the brands? So similar to what you said, Ivona.
Yeah, but I think it's just what you perfectly summarized is that you have to, first of all, be aware of your target group, right? Yeah. So to be very, and sometimes it's also a challenge for a marketeer, right? To really think about not the classic demographics, but really the ecosystem you want to target. And then also to be a bit, let's say, bolder also. Sometimes we are too much in our mono brand thinking, how can I maximize?
Yeah,
and I think we have deployed some very nice examples also with you to sometimes even cross not only brands out of the ecosystem, like the fashion example that we just talked, but also with sister brands, right? So and sometimes for our brand teams, it's tricky because they feel like, but I want to have the full visibility for my little brand and I will not share with anybody else. And we saw with your possibilities on what we can do with you on throughout the platform, different content pieces, different length of pieces, different touch points of pieces. And if we then put the magic together and even let some brands cooperate out of our portfolio, I think it's super interesting, you know, and I think this is where we can learn as we go and really explore even more new formats into that direction.
But I couldn't agree more, right? I mean, we definitely sometimes feel like we're limiting ourselves, right? And I think that's, that's not the best thing about the mono brands, but I totally feel you because we have two brands, two global brands in our portfolio. And we always say, hey, let's work together. Let's do something together, right? Calvin Klein and Tommy, let's marry them up. But I think that's a new big thing moving forward. Let's go outside the box. And as you said, let's be braver. Yeah.
Speaking about being brave, here I want to come back. This is the last question before we're ready for your questions in the audience. So being brave, looking at Zeitgeist and then using the channels that adapt best here is, of course, also the big theme of the Bad Bunny campaign. And here you worked also with TikTok closely. And maybe you can share a bit, what did you do there? What happened? And did the internet actually break?
Love that question. Oh, my God. To be honest, I could tell now a lot about how it all started, right, from concept and to setting up the campaign. But to be honest, I'm sure you all have seen the Jeremy Allen White campaign, right, which was the number one campaign worldwide in terms of engagement. And with Bad Bunny, I mean, yeah, we had to pick the right talent. I mean, he has 50 million, right, followers on Instagram, 30 million on TikTok. So we wanted actually to reach this younger audience. And yeah, we felt like, okay, let's go after Bad Bunny, right? And obviously, we set up the campaign. The campaign was so hot that it actually got leaked. So it actually came out several hours.
This was a stressful night.
This was a stressful night, I can tell you. It was crazy because, we had to, last minute, we had to pull everything forward, the entire campaign. But then it went live, right? And to be honest, we were just sitting back and it exploded, like you said, right? It went fully viral. And to be honest, I'm sure you all have seen the TikTok videos with 10 ladies sitting in front of 20 devices, watching the campaign and actually resharing it with their family, with their friends. So obviously, yeah, there was nothing to adjust in terms of the campaign. It was just the perfect campaign, I would say. And yeah, we're still waiting for the final results because it's still running. But nevertheless, it was another successful campaign for us. Yeah.
How cool is this to then sit back and watch what people do with it, right? How is the reaction? I think this is the coolest thing, and that sometimes you feel what people make out of it, right? You put it out there and then to see what's happening, it goes beyond, I think, everyone's expectation, right? So I think we have all seen it also with the White Lotus that was then somehow paired with everything happening in America, and you think, how would anyone come up with this, right? So I think this is what makes our job also so interesting, that there is a certain level of unexpected events, but then also for us to react in the right way. Yeah,
exactly. Sometimes you just need to trust the process, right?
Yeah, okay. Very good last words. So now we have 5 minutes left. And if you have a question, we have someone here with a mic going around. Please just quickly raise your hand. And ladies, we put on our earphones and then we hear what is it you would like to ask. Any questions? Exactly. Don't be shy.
Hi. Very interesting conversation that you guys are having. I'd love to understand when you look at your launch campaigns. Which
Sorry, one second. At least I can't hear you. I didn't break the internet. I just broke the headphone.
Plug that one in. Okay. Oh goodness. Yeah. Should work now.
Yes, now I hear
Excellent.
You. Very
All
sorry.
Right.
Please go ahead.
Great conversation. I'd love to understand about the KPIs. When you have these kind of launch events or looking at your campaigns that you're running, retail media or also different media types, which kind of KPIs do you look at? And also when you look into your board of management, which KPIs are you reporting back? Because we've talked about lots of marketeers, great jobs, yes, and very often we are the aliens in the companies talking about things that nobody else have an understanding about. So I'd love to understand the KPIs and also how you report that up into your board.
Yes, please.
Yeah, I can share with you with pleasure. So what we always try to do to explain it as if you would talk to a child, a C board member, or a random person. So simplifying is always a good strategy, right? And I think what we always start with is about reach and awareness, like how many people have we reached, like to really create, as Heike was explaining in the beginning, the considerers for our brands, because we all know awareness is the entry gate, the considerers are the potential shoppers of tomorrow, right? So this is our second topic. Then we talk really a lot about new to brand. This is why we as a beauty brand love the collaboration with Zalando, because there is audiences around fashion, and how can we, as coming from another category, profit from these new audiences. And of course, last but not least, and this is the hard currency, it's about sales. Like to really talk about uplifts and sales performance, and to really showcase that you are increasing your volumes in sales. And this is usually my logic, how I do the ramp up. And in terms of media, if this one is interesting for you, of course, we also look at media performance KPIs, like the classic CPMs or ROAS that Dunja mentioned, which is like in the rest of the universe, like the same KPIs we look at. I don't know if you... Yes.
For Salomon, we are actually on the journey from the technical outdoor brand into the more mountain lifestyle sport brand. So we are trying to attract these new consumers. So for us, it's critical to measure also brand followers and new to brand, really where we focus. Obviously, there are other KPIs that you mentioned, but, you know, depending on, you know, what the stage the company is in, you know, what is the main overall goal, I think that you would then more focus on one or the other.
I think you perfectly summarized it, ladies, right? There's not a lot to add. I think it's the combination, right? Obviously, it's the combination of, sales, halo impact, and, as mentioned by the ladies, definitely the new brand fans. That's key in order to drive future revenues.
Thank you. Really great first question. We have time for one or two more questions. Oh, I see a hand going up there and there.
If you're thinking of a limited budget, what would you do and what would you take from the campaign? What was your most important step in the campaigns? So,
okay. So in terms of limited budget, I mean, sometimes it sounds like L'Oréal has millions of euros, so they can do whatever they want. But of course, the reality is that it depends on the brand size, the brand portfolio. So of course, we also do have some brands where we have to be managing our budgets properly. And here, I would really suggest to start with a data piece, right? Again, coming back to what is your target for your brand, and what is the end game you want to reach, and then not to spread the money. I think you said it in the beginning, spray and pray. In this case, probably not the best strategy, but to be very choiceful. And then I would really try to understand, if we take the example of Zalando, be very precise about whom you want to reach with what key KPI at the end of the game, and then with the help of data and audiences, choose the right and best fit for you. That would be my advice.
I think I also have to say something about limited budgets, as we do have. And yes, as you rightly said, it's about focus. So throughout of the year, we plan like two biggest campaigns where we really have the 360 approach, that we really are following the investment. And then we have this always-on activations. I think a lot depends on the objective and joint marketing plan. So at the beginning, we do have with Zalando joint marketing plan where we are having the overall vision, the marketing objective, and the big pieces of the cake, let's say, the key milestones. And then we attribute the budget to these key elements. So it's about the strategy as well.
Yeah, and fully agree, Ivona, actually, that's how we do it as well, right? We always have one-third is always on budget so that we stay top of mind throughout the entire year. But obviously, as we need to generate sales to gain marketing budget, we need to focus as well on the commercial moments, right? So it's about balancing out the peak moments with an always-on approach. And if you're obviously a big brand and you do have great assets like Bad Bunny, right, and you don't have to co-create them, let's make use of the assets. Obviously, the beauty is co-creating assets, but if you don't have enough budget, I would highly recommend make use of your assets, and actually, if you have to use it, right. That's obviously key. Sometimes it's not so easy to negotiate because you need a certain budget, but I think if you have them, let's explore them and make use of them.
Super, thank you. There was one last question in the back.
Hi, regarding three-way collaborations or brand collaborations, talking about budgets, I mean, sometimes it's even hard to align with the partners. Right now you're talking about three partners that have different perceptions, objectives, so any tips and hints how to make this a success? And also, if I may put a sneaky question, any brand collaboration that was close to happening and it didn't come to fruition? Thanks.
Oh.
I'm very curious about the last question. Huh? Who wants to go with that? You can also make an example. Maybe that's outside the retail media and Zalando scope, but I think that's a very nice one.
Good question. Obviously, as budgets are tight currently, I have to say, right, it's always a tough choice. So we would love to have much more collaborations, right, with brands like Emilion, right, which is, I mean, they're super on spot right now, super on trend. So, yeah, there are a lot of brands actually out there with whom we would love to collaborate. But sometimes you have to pick your battles, right? You cannot have it all. Let's see what comes up. We had actually some good discussions with some beauty brands. So to be honest, after this panel talk, I'm 100% committed to actually bring this up on the agenda. And I so want to cooperate. I mean, thinking of fashion, sport and beauty, that's the perfect combination, right? As we said at the beginning. And I think there's, big things hopefully coming up. So hopefully we can make that happen.
Sometimes you make collaborations by accident, like like we did with Rihanna at Super Bowl. This was one of the... Actually, we didn't pay a penny.
Oh, wow.
And it was one of the most effective advertisements that I've ever seen in my life. She just liked the shoes. She was pregnant. She was at Super Bowl. She was hot. And our shoe was hot immediately afterwards.
And in Zalando, we were crying because the shoe was sold out before.
Everywhere. Yes.
So. Maybe an advice I would love to give you in terms of limited budget and collaborations, sometimes it's also worth to do the diligence on like barter deals or checking out what can I do for you, what can you do for me. It doesn't have to be necessarily monetary transfers. You know, maybe you have some touch points which the other brand can profit from. And I can disclose on one cooperation which we wanted to do, but we didn't finally do it. It's about risk, like also risk management in a way. We wanted to collaborate with a sports guy. I will not drop the name. But we decided at the end of the day, what if he hurts himself just before the season? You build up your whole campaigning assets and everything, and then... It was for us just too risky. So I was a big fan to have this footballer in our portfolio, but it didn't work out. So also a lot of work for nothing, but it's not nothing. It's also a learning case, right? So c'est la vie.
Oh, thank you so much. Super good answers. And I think, good point to close at. This was really nice, really insightful. Thank you so much. And please give a big round of applause for our wonderful panelists. Oh, yeah, actually, that's true. Something we're a bit proud about. So you see that still in media, there is a natural tendency towards more men also on stage. So I think this is maybe the only four women panel. Woo! Thank you all so much. Have a great rest of the OMR. Bye-bye.
Massive thanks to Alma, Dunja and Ivona for joining us and to all our amazing brand partners for shaping the future with us. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to hit the subscribe button. More marketing wisdom from top brands is just around the corner. Ciao for now.